The natural instinct is to do that which is right. And I'm going to explain that today. You will find out that God only speaks dramatically when otherwise we would not have done what he wants us to do. Do you get the point I am making? I explained that last week. I'm going to develop that issue of common sense further today. That there is a way by which God expects us to walk every day as children of God. And what he's doing is building us up to the level where we are naturally people that think like God. That is, if we are to think for God, that's why Paul would say things like this. I do not have a specific commandment concerning this. However, I have the Spirit of God. And that's what this will of God thing is. The mistake people make, do you follow, is that they think that this is how it works. God must give you a commandment. God must command you concerning every step you take. Then you are walking in the will of God. It doesn't always work like that. You don't always have a dramatic manifestation before you step into what God wants you to step into. A young woman came to me once. She said, Pastor Banky, how do I know my ministry? I said, what do you mean? Wait, confess. What do you know how to do? She told me. Do it now. You will discover your calling along the line. Don't worry, I don't know how else to say. You want to choose names. Am I an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or helps, ministry of helps, or gifts of healings, or am I he that give it? Wait. God will put something in your path. Eventually, you will discover what you know how to do. Do you understand my point? He will lead you in the path of righteousness by his own namesake. As we go on, we see the different methods by which God leads people. To lead just means to be guided into the proper place. Are you getting what I mean? And Joseph was guided into the proper place by hatred. Are you following what I mean? There are people who have stepped into destiny because somebody didn't like them and therefore sacked them. Okay? And because of that, they were forced to move to another place. And in moving was when they found themselves in the center of God's will. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. I want us to get this in out of the mystical. You don't have to practice yoga, you cross your leg and do meditation so that at the end of the day, God will speak to you. You know, God is very good at that. He will disappoint you very well. No, really. Most of the time, even those days that I prayed and God spoke, go and ask them. Most of the time they prayed. Nobody said anything. They got tired and they went and did what was reasonable. I'm trying to get the emphasis right to us as believers. Let's leave the dramatic out. Let's leave that which is romantic and phenomenal. When those things will happen, again, we'll talk about that one also, they will happen without our prompting. Do you follow me? Listen, I don't agree that for an average believer, you need to go and settle down and learn how to hear the Spirit of God. I don't believe in it. It is taught widely. People try to persuade us to learn it, but I don't agree. This is what I have come to understand. Every child of God should learn how to obey that which is revealed. Do you follow my point? Every child of God should build himself up in his walk with God. You should get to know God closer every day. You should get to know God better every day. How? And that is simply by feeding yourself with knowledge and with understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it is time to pray, child of God, pray. When it is time to study, study. When it is time to do good works, do good works. When it is time to flee youthful lust, flee youthful lust. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That's all you need to do. Then when God wants to talk to people, he knows when to call them and how to call them. He shouted, Samuel, 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 on the Samuel finally head. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. Please, we'll develop this thing properly. For a young woman who is walking with God. And when I say walking with God, it is not, Father God, as I'm going out this morning, where do you want me to go? Listen, if you don't know where to go, you know what you should do? Sit at home. I'm serious about it. Let's not turn ourselves to, crazy fellows, odd people. I remember once I told a brother to come and do something. I said, let him go and sit down and pray in my mind. Listen, bro. You are greedy, we do it. This one you are praying before you come and fulfill your commitment. I don't get the point. Now, listen. We'll develop this, but I'm just trying to remind us of the things that we are trying to do, okay? And then let's quickly look at the things that we have already seen. We have discussed what grace is. I'm not going to remind us of all these things in details. We know what grace is. We say it's the power of God that's manifested to help us get results as long as we are walking with God and we're obeying Him. Grace is not just a matter of unmerited favor, but that we are able to get results walking in life by using the power of God. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You understand that? We have understood that. And I explained that there is a place in which somebody walks in life. It's called the rest of God. All right? The person dwells in that spiritual climate, and the grace of God is made available to him automatically. All right? And I said that when we read from someone, that the man who doesn't sit, stand, or walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked, the scoffers, the scornful, and all of that, now that's the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. It's as he delights, okay, that thing leads him. The very thing that he loves tells him where he goes and where he doesn't go. Because he meditates there in day and night, it automatically guides him away from the seat of the scornful. It automatically guides him from walking in the way of the wicked. It's automatic, just because the guy loves the law of the Lord. Are you getting my point? And I said that law of the Lord, there are two sides to it. There is the reveals that we all know. Thou shalt not steal. Alright? Prefer one another in love. Alright? God loves a cheerful giver. These are basic things that everybody knows. But there are specific laws. He said, thy law is within my heart. That is, there is something that God has wired you to do. Therefore, you automatically respond when the opportunity comes to do such things. Please, get that point. We're going to look at it further in detail. I'm just trying to introduce this into words again. Now, I said to start today's on air, let's read two scriptures. Because I said I was going to continue this issue of common sense. Please, it's the will of God we are trying to learn. The book of James, chapter 1, we'll start from that. Let's just start from verse 2, though where I'm going is verse 5. So, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or fall into diverse temptations, King James says. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Please notice the word faith, endurance, and testing, and the result. But I may refer to that later. But let me go get down to verse 5. He said, But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let me just stop there, all right? What I want to bring out from there is what? If any man lacks wisdom. Now, please bear that in mind and quickly open again to Romans chapter 12. From verse 1, it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be, this important part here, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Are you seeing that? That you may prove or discover by experience what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and what? Perfect. Now I'm going to examine these two scriptures in depth today. I doubt whether we'll go anywhere else apart from these two. But I'm hoping that at the end of the day, you really get my point. We have to go over this thing front and back every way so that Christians will get the point. Is that okay? And please, we don't need some of these spiritual gymnastics that we practice. There are those who don't make decisions except the prophet says, it's wrong. Everything you want to do in life, you have to go and lay it before a prophet. It is not New Testament principle at all. Let us get this very clear. A lot of us grow up under such circumstances. We don't make decisions until a prophet has heard about it and he has prayed about it and has shown us the will of God concerning it. Listen to me and hear it clearly. That is not divine order for the believer in Christ Jesus. You may have seen experiences in which it works good for the people. But let's understand God very well. Alright? That is a very kind person. What am I trying to explain? Sometimes in the ignorance of our childhood, alright, we don't know enough as believers to be able to solve some problems. And when we take some of these not accurate steps, God seems to just oblige us occasionally. But listen, that is not the proper order. You say, what is the proper order? Let me give it to you simply. You do what seems good to you, haven't prayed about it. You don't need the word of any prophet. You don't need to go and lay your plans down before a prophet and say, check whether it's the will of God. Most, number one, serious men of God don't answer such questions. They can pray with you. Now, if you have legitimate questions, that is the job of pastors. Now, let me explain what I say. There are times you have a conflict. I'm going to explain that now from this scripture we have read. And you don't have an answer. So you go and ask for understanding. Do you get what I'm saying? And then somebody who knows the word of God, not pray and find out whether God is saying, no. He just hears simply. And by his understanding of spiritual things, gives you counsel. And you add that to what you know already, and you come out with a good decision. That's how Christians are supposed to live. Now, please, let me explain something. You know, because here, Paul said here, that you may prove what the will of God is. As a matter of fact, God has a plan for every situation. You will be amazed if I said this, but it's actually true. Down to what you eat for breakfast. But how many times have you bothered to ask, Lord, should I fry the egg or boil it? You enter the kitchen. As you're about to boil the egg, say, don't think when I eat fried egg last though. Quam into the frying pan. You have just fried the egg according to the will of God. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. See, let me first, before I even go on further, let me remind us of what the will of God is actually. When we say the will of God, if you've not read that book, go and read a copy. That's what is God's will here. The will of God is not that which is good, that is to my flesh. The will of God is not necessarily that which makes me more money. When a young woman says, Pastor, I'd like to know the will of God for my marriage, that who should I marry? Most people, and that's what you see, it changes with time as people develop what they really have in their minds and want to get it correct into people's hearts. When an average lady up tells you that, like maybe just meet somebody and you're chatting, say, oh, yeah, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know who to marry. What they are saying, most of the time, listen, they have meaning. Now, words have meaning. The meaning of what they are saying is not just, who should I marry? But see, what they are saying affects that. That bro is broke now. But Pastor, do you think he will become rich? I'm serious. I'm very serious. I don't know. Some of these brothers these days, they go and marry second wives after 22 years of marriage. Do you think this guy likes to marry a second wife? Oh, Pastor, he's already rich, but are you sure he will let me continue going to church? Because I know he's not a Christian, so I'm not even asking you about that. But do you think he will let me continue going to church? These are the little questions they are asking. They are saying that which one is the will of God? When the brother says that, which job should I take now? You know what he's saying is that, which one is the will of God? What he means is, Pastor, I have two offers. This one, they're going to start me on this particular level, level 12. This one starting me on level 9. But I think that this level 9, they will promote me faster. I will soon get to 15. But this level 12 one, it'll be like, say, man, go stagnate for a while. But the money is good presently. Please, Pastor, pray. Which one is the will of God? You know what he means? Which one eventually will promote us faster, get more cash, and man go set to build a house, you know, fast. Say, let us pray. Ashakaba. Father, reveal your will. God say, my will. You are not even talking to me. Now, do you follow what I'm saying? No, you see, you can ask for something. Jesus told James and John, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you getting my point? One brother, we were talking the other day. He said a man came that when he was working with Pastor Paul at the Pharisee, and one brother rushed and met them and said that, sir, he gave Pastor Paul, you know, a gift. I didn't know if the man said, could you pray for him that he wants double portion of his anointing? And that one prayed generally and left. And told the guy they were working together, I said, he asked for the double portion of my anointing. He said, I didn't ask that for him. He said, because double portion of my anointing is double portion of my troubles. I don't think I handle it. James and John came and said, want to sit on the left and on the right. Jesus said, this boy is doing the meaning of left and right. He said, to get there, you have to go through what I'm going to go through. He said, are you ready? Foolish boys. Instead of saying that, okay, explain the details. They just said, we are ready. They did not even have an idea of what he was going to go through. They said they were ready. Are you ready for the exam? Yes, I'm ready. You've never asked which kind of exam. Are they teaching engineering mathematics? Or the history of European civilization? Do you get my point? You don't know what the exam is about. You say, we are ready. And that's the way it is. People sometimes ask for things they don't know the importance, the magnitude of the content of what they're asking for. a lot of people, and that's the major thing. That's when I wrote that little book. That's what I tried to emphasize. When we say the will of God, we must first get something clear. All right? When we say the will of God, we must first get it clear what we are saying. Are we talking like God, or we are talking according to our flesh? That is why the question, what is God's will, changes for people as they mature in life. The young lady I'm talking about, let's assume she gives her life to Christ properly and begins to love the Lord. Next time she's praying about the will of God, she wants a man that will really help her in the walk with God. Will he be rich or poor becomes secondary. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She's redefining the will of God. But the proper definition for God's will, the ultimate definition is simple. It means that God has a recorded plan for your life. Before you were born, God knew you. Before you were born, God consecrated you to be something. He spoke to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, I consecrated you to be a prophet. Before you were born, I knew you. While you were being formed in your mother's womb, I called you. That's the will of God. It has nothing to do with his spiritual, like, will I be a great spiritual giant? Or will I become a rich man? That's besides the point. What it just means is that I was created to be something. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what it means. I was created to be something. And I want to discover that which I was created to be. Therefore, what's the proper thing? The young man says, which job should I take? It's not the one I'll be promoted in fastest or the one I won't be promoted in fastest. It's that God, I know that before I was born, you created me to do something. Which one of these is leading me in the path of what I am supposed to become? Are you getting the point I'm making? So when we're talking about the will of God, and let me tell you something, that's why God doesn't always reveal it the way we think he should. Because the path he chooses for us sometimes doesn't make sense. Joseph dreamt, very good. Did he know what the dream meant? No, he had no idea. He just woke up one morning and I dreamt. What did you dream? I dreamt that we're all in the field. And we made sheaves, you know. We just bundled our, you know, wheat after harvesting everything. We put them down. And all your own were just bowing down to my own. And the older brothers, like Reuben, said, you are a very stupid boy. I always knew you didn't have respect. You know what it means? I didn't ask to dream the dream now. They forgot that one. Then they woke up laughing again. They said, what is this time? This time, right, it's not grass that's bowing down. It's moon, sun, and 12 stars, 11 stars. And I said, this boy, I know it's getting... Now, they had understanding. They had interpretation for it. His father had interpretation for it. But he didn't know what was going on. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, he didn't know what was going on. I'm bringing out something. Let us even assume he knew what was going on. So you're going to be a ruler. You know what will have happened? Think about us today. You say, this boy is going to be a ruler. Now, boy, read well for Jambo. Read political science and international relations. Quickly reads it. Do you follow the points? And then from there, it's MSCP. Go and work with the government. Enter civil service. Want to go. Finally, they will even work with you till you get to command and staff college judge. Prepare you to be a leader. And God said, that's not exactly the method I want to use. You know what's going to happen? This boy is spoiled. His father loves him. He works for his father a bit. But the boy never knows what they call hard life. His father has transported the love he had for his mother onto his head. It's all right. What do we do? Let's strip him away of all this comfort. Let us bring out the giant that's within him. How do we do it? Remove his cloth. What else do you think? So they remove his cloth. On his way to the throne, they had to remove his cloth. So what is he doing on level ground? Throw him down. So he first went downwards. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't just start climbing, which is what we would have tried to do. He first went where? Downwards into the pit. And he looked like he was going to die. That was the plan. Then when he was down there, I can imagine. No, I like to add things together. Just like Jonah, he prayed. From the belly of the earth, this man probably also prayed. And God sent deliverance. And they said, let us sell him. Why kill him for nothing? Let's get some money. And they sold him. He was on his way to the first university of training. But not the way you and I would have prepared it. Do you understand my point? So he went down as a slave. A prince went down as what? A slave and began to serve. With that, God was honing his skills, teaching him this. This is how they manage food in the house. You don't just eat food anyhow. If it is excess, you do it like this. When his master saw how skilled he was in managing the house, he put everything in his charge. And after that, God said, good, let's give him, because I've been teaching him over the years, let's start testing him. All right? Kola Ewosu told me then, I want to listen to him, he was preaching somewhere, talking about the law of boundaries. That everything God gives you in life has boundaries. They put you in the Garden of Eden. You can eat everything but this one. You must recognize the law of boundaries. So they put everything in that house in charge of him. He said, let's see whether he has understood which of the trees he can't eat. Then one day, Mrs. Potiphar came. You know the rest of the story. And he said, no, my boundaries. This one is outside the boundaries. I can't do this and sin against God. God said, very fine. Now he's qualified, listen, for the postgraduate course. That this guy is now qualified for what? Postgraduate. Do you know if he has slept with Mrs. Potiphar, he would have failed there, but he would have settled down in Potiphar's house for longer. Maybe eventually, listen, you know, Potiphar would have, there are a number of ways. He could have been judged by God harshly and all of that. Most likely he would have died somewhere along the line, but let's even leave that. Maybe one day after he has worked so much, Potiphar will now settle him. Let this boy go. They return to his father's house or tabernacle in Egypt, a successful businessman, traveling between Egypt and Canaan. That's what I'm saying. Doing good business. And they say, Baba, man, look, listen, in life, oh, small compromise is not bad. Oh. See, Joseph will have just died for nothing. See, is it not just sleep with small Mrs. Potiphar? Who knew about it? Look at him. He's not doing well now. Like Pastor Podu said, you know what you have gained, but you don't know what you lost. Do you understand the point? He will know what he gained, but what he lost is one thing he will never be aware of. And that's why I said, don't give me testimony about results. Let us first sit down, what? On principles. Let's build our lives on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You are getting the point. All right, so in Joseph's case, that's it. The next place he went was, he went down again as a prisoner. And then he did very well, passed the postgraduate course. And then God left him with one last disappointment to teach him the issues of life, because he said that, you know, that you may prove what the will of God is, you must come to understand it. He helped a man, a powerful man, a minister of the Federal Republic. He helped him. The man went back to ministerial office. He didn't remember him. Wicked soul. We will think. But God, I just want you to understand that your deliverance is not with man. Because one day, this is one thing I want to tell you. That night when he went to sleep, before he went to sleep, he suddenly felt that something's going to happen tomorrow. And he began to pray. And he paced up and down. And spoke in Syrian tongue. He spoke in Japanese tongue. He spoke in Chinese tongue. Spoke all kinds of languages in tongues. Praying to the Father. Saying that tomorrow is my deliverance. Is that what happened? Around nonsense. What happened? He went to sleep as usual. No special prayer. Nothing. He didn't wake up with a twitch in his eye. Knowing that something good is going to happen today. He woke up as usual. Do you follow me? He woke up as usual and went about his business as usual. And then along the line, they heard noises outside. What he didn't know that is all the while, Pharaoh wasn't sleeping well. Do you follow my point? In the last few days, they have been talking. Oga didn't sleep well. He's calling all the magicians and the conjurers. They have tried their best to interpret his dream. Nobody can interpret it. While Joseph was there doing his thing there, along the line, he heard chariots arrive outside. Why did the chariots come? Because the man that forgot him suddenly remembered him when he was most needed. Are you getting my point? That's it. God set it up. The Bible says that the king sent for him and loosed him. And they walked in there. Who is Joseph here? There he is, sir. He said, finally, Potiphar has remembered me. I'm dead. Maybe he thought so. I don't know what God was going through his mind. Then they looked at him and said, why is beard long like this? Shave the guy. Dressing up properly. What is going on? We are going to see Pharaoh himself. And of course, until he got to the presence of Pharaoh, he had no idea what was going on. All this while, was in the will of God? Yes, he was. What did God ever say to him? Nothing. Nothing. That's why God doesn't reveal everything. If he did, Joseph would have thought he needed to go to university. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, look, you know the way David said it? Let's quickly read that again, Psalm 139. Just quickly, just for a moment. I want to just read about this will of God again, that this God had a plan for your life before you were born. From verse 15, he said, My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me. Notice that. That's what I want to bring out here. And in thy book they were all written. That is, those days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That is, the prison the man entered didn't take God by surprise. It was part of the training that he ordained for him. Do you get my point? Listen, don't ever forget to accept everything in life with thanksgiving. When we say God is wise, he's the only wise God. Let me tell you, the way he walks, this is very, very interesting. Even when it appears like all you have done is made mistakes, the day you reconcile with God and start giving him thanks for mistakes, do you get my point? It will appear as if those were the proper things to have done. And it's not if you are deceiving yourself, because God knows how to plot the course of life from that point back into the center of his will. I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. Listen, the will of God is not just what feels good. The will of God is that which brings me into the center of his destiny for my life. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. The will of God is not that which I... You know, that's why I told you that, look, I am tired of testimonies that, praise God, brethren, it works. I gave out my shoe, now I have two caps. Let me tell you, there are times you give out your shoe and you go barefoot for the next 1 year and God never remembers that he doesn't have shoe again. So the testimony is it doesn't work. No, that is nonsense. You cannot say that. I mean, it doesn't mean that once I take... Look, the Bible talks about faith. Some by faith got up and went to the palace. Like Joseph, by faith, by people like Moses, left the palace and went to dwell among slaves. Let me ask you a question. Was Moses in the wilderness for 40 years in accordance with the will of God? Let me answer it quickly before you give me wrong theology. Yes. Oh God, as we go now, I'll explain some things. It is not possible. This is why God doesn't give visions all the time. That's why he won't give you the details of your life, because you will mess it up trying to obey it. You will mess it up trying to obey it. I had a man preach once. He said, if only he had known what he knows now about his life, there's going to be a preacher. That what was he doing in a foreign university studying a professional course? He would have gone to a theological seminary. I told myself that this man, you don't know anything yet. I know you are preaching, but you still don't get the point. That is how you will have never become a preacher. You think that would have been the path to preaching. But that is what will have crippled your ability to preach. That one of the reasons why you are preaching as hard as you are preaching now is because you went to study a secular course university, and during that process, God was able to reach you, touch you, teach you. He allowed you to fall. You thought you were strong. He allowed you to forgive you all the problems, allowed all the wild into your life. Then he called you one day. If you had gone to a theological seminar and become a guru with a doctor of divinity, you probably have been too headstrong for God. He would not be able to teach you any revelation. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, you know, I tell them that, look, I studied medicine as a first degree. I said it helps me to teach the word of God better. There's a revelation I teach from James. I want to talk about corresponding actions of faith that I've never heard anybody else teach. Do you get my point? And I'm persuaded the only reason why I was able to understand that thing was because I learned how to certify people dead as part of my professional work. So hear me explain that about dead faith and living faith. Without being a doctor, it would have been hard to explain that thing. Do you get my point? The will of God, listen, God doesn't always tell stories. My son, this is where we are going. So, once he says it like that, you plot the path for getting there according to human knowledge. So you know what he does? He doesn't tell you anything. He says, walk with me and be perfect. That's all. That when I move you to any junction in life, do what I have revealed to you is the correct thing to do. What is it revealed to you? Didn't you go to church? No, forget church first. Didn't your parents teach you basic morals as a child? You learned it. You started reading the Bible as you were growing up, you were learning stuff. You kept on learning this, hearing this, here and there. All those little things, use them each time. It is when they fail you. Now let's get back to our text. It is when they fail you that you begin to pray and you start asking for what? Wisdom. What did he say in James? He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Now, what is the meaning of the word wisdom? Now, wisdom is defined, I've read it here and there defined, as the ability to make sound judgment, all right? Or the ability to use knowledge profitably. That's what wisdom is. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, please bear that in mind. Now, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, what was he saying? He wasn't talking about somebody who doesn't have any sense at all. He was saying that you go about in life and you have to make decisions every time. And look, that's how life is. You wake up in the morning, you make a decision to get up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there are times you realize you needed to make a decision to get up. You know how? You wake up and you have a headache. You don't get up immediately. You lie down some more. Do you understand? Hoping the headache will go away. And you start reasoning what is the cause of this headache. Okay, I slept at 3 a.m. and it's just 5:30. I can't get up yet. So you decide to go back to sleep. Do you understand my point? What's happening is that you are using the knowledge of facts, all right, to make a decision. You know that headache for you is a sign that body needs rest. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, every time you have to make a decision in life, I said something last time, that there's what is called common sense. And what we call common sense generally, okay, is just that there are basic information that is available to everybody. So we assume that everybody should have that information and use them to make decisions. So you are leaving your house. You live in this part of this kind of geography, that this kind of climatical area, you know what I mean? The climate in this particular area, you know how it is. It rains. So you know this is rainy season. You are leaving your house. You don't shut your windows. You have books on the floor. You understand my point? You just go out to work. And when you come back, you are the whole place is flooded. In fact, let us forget you said. Let's assume that you have a younger brother, a cousin, or somebody living in your house. And he left it like that. You now come back. You see the guy everywhere trying to mop the floor, scoop water. Your books are soaked. What do you say? Didn't your common sense tell you to shut the window when you were going out? What do you mean by that? You know it's rainy season. You know rain in this season doesn't give warning. It's not as if the clouds are gathering. You can leave your house and the sun is shining as bright as it can ever be. Before you get to the office, it's raining cats, dogs, elephants, hippopotamus, and everything. It doesn't give warning. That's what you call common sense. You are used to the basic information. So anytime you are leaving your house, you shut the windows, even though the sun is up. That's why I explained last time that what you call common depends on what information is common to you. Do you get my point? What you call common sense. And that's why I said God expects the Christian to walk day by day using what? Common sense. Because certain kinds of information are supposed to be common to the believer. Do you get my point? Now, I won't belabor that point too much. But at least you've got what I'm going to say. They're general principles. That's what I talked about last time. Being obedient to that which is already revealed. You don't need prayer about such things. The word of God is clear about them. You know what to do. But there are times in which all the information you have, you put it together and you yourself know you cannot make a decision with full assurance. Are you getting the point I'm making? And like I always say, if you are not sure, you are not sure. It is not faith to say, even though I'm not sure, I'm going to do it. That is stupidity. That is madness. That is presumption. In fact, that is foolishness. If you are not sure, you are not sure. And I told you before that that's one of the things you do with prayer. That you pray until you become what? Sure. That's how it goes. Listen, I told you that I have friends who considered marriage proposals for a year and a half. They loved the guy seriously. The only problem is that there are issues that they couldn't make decisions concerning with assurance. And that's what Christians do. They pray and pray. That's what Christians do. And God answers you. This is how God answers. There are different ways he answers. One of the ways, I believe the commonest, is to give you information you did not have before. Are you getting what I'm saying? It gives you what? Information you didn't know was available. Information that once you get, suddenly everything ties together. Suddenly the puzzle makes sense. You get the point I'm trying to make here? That's how God does it. The second way he does it, that sometimes he just infuses into you the spirit of faith. There's another way he does it. And now, this is the interesting part. We'll come down to this one later. That is when, the third way, which I'm mentioning now, is that that's when he oftentimes uses what? Strange manifestations. Listen to me. It is not easy to get up and go to the road and go and marry a harlot. Any man who does this, something's wrong with his head. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, every time you have to make a decision in life, I said something last time, that there's what is called common sense. And what we call common sense generally, okay, is just that there are basic information that is available to everybody. So we assume that everybody should have that information and use them to make decisions. So you are leaving your house. You live in this part of this kind of geography, that this kind of climatical area, you know what I mean? The climate in this particular area, you know how it is. It rains. So you know this is rainy season. You are leaving your house. You don't shut your windows. You have books on the floor. You understand my point? You just go out to work. And when you come back, you are the whole place is flooded. In fact, let us forget you said, let's assume that you have a younger brother, a cousin, or somebody living in your house, and he left it like that. You now come back. You see the guy everywhere trying to mop the floor, scoop water, your books are soaked. What do you say? Didn't your common sense tell you to shut the window when you were going out? What do you mean by that? You know it's rainy season. You know rain in this season doesn't give warning. It's not as if the clouds are gathering. You can leave your house and the sun is shining as bright as it can ever be. Before you get to the office, it's raining cats, dogs, elephants, hippopotamus, and everything. It doesn't give warning. That's what you call common sense. You are used to the basic information. So anytime you are leaving your house, you shut the windows, even though the sun is up. That's why I explained last time that what you call common depends on what information is common to you. Do you get my point? What you call common sense. And that's why I said God expects the Christian to walk day by day using what? Common sense. Because certain kinds of information are supposed to be common to the believer. Do you get my point? Now, I won't belabor that point too much. But at least you've got what I'm going to say. They're general principles. That's what I talked about last time. Being obedient to that which is already revealed. You don't need prayer about such things. The word of God is clear about them. You know what to do. But there are times in which all the information you have, you put it together and you yourself know you cannot make a decision with full assurance. Are you getting the point I'm making? And like I always say, if you are not sure, you are not sure. It is not faith to say, even though I'm not sure, I am going to do it. That is stupidity. That is madness. That is presumption. In fact, that is foolishness. If you are not sure, you are not sure. And I told you before that that's one of the things you do with prayer. That you pray until you become what? Sure. That's how it goes. Listen, I told you that I have friends who considered marriage proposals for a year and a half. They loved the guy seriously. The only problem is that there are issues that they couldn't make decisions concerning with assurance. And that's what Christians do. They pray and pray. That's what Christians do. And God answers you. This is how God answers. There are different ways he answers. One of the ways, I believe the commonest, is to give you information you did not have before. Are you getting what I'm saying? It gives you what? Information you didn't know was available. Information that once you get, suddenly everything ties together. Suddenly the puzzle makes sense. You get the point I'm trying to make here? That's how God does it. The second way he does it, that sometimes he just infuses into you the spirit of faith. There's another way he does it. And now, this is the interesting part. We'll come down to this one later. That is when, the third way, which I'm mentioning now, is that that's when he oftentimes uses what? Strange manifestations. Listen to me. It is not easy to get up and go to the road and go and marry a harlot. Any man who does this, something's wrong with his head. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm bringing out an issue. Then when God wanted Hosea to go and marry a harlot, you think he just led him by prompting on his soul? No. That kind of one, you go appear, show your credentials that you are God. Yes, you go appear. You show you are God. Oh yeah, tell me, who created Jupiter? Confess. Say after me, Jesus is Lord. He said, okay, it looks like you are really the true God. So you under your breath, you say, Satan, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, hoping he will jump. If he doesn't jump, say, this guy must be God. It's all right. Go ahead with the message. Then he now gives you the message. Do you know why? Because now you have to make a decision that goes against every kind of knowledge that a sensible person has. Until you get to that level, he usually doesn't bother with dreams and visions. Otherwise, how should you marry? You see, fine girl, she likes you. You like her. Two of you love the Lord. Hey, come on, what is listen, my friend, there's no issue. You pastor, please, are you ready to wed us? Yes, we are ready. Oh, yeah. You do announcement. If there's no problem, that's the end of it. So are you sure you prayed? Oh boy. It is not that time I needed to pray. Let me tell you the truth. The longest time, let me tell you this as a matter of fact. The most difficult time to pray is when your emotions are already involved. It's very hard. It is what? Very hard. Let's be realistic. It's very hard. In fact, the only prayer, look, I can tell you this. Eh? The only prayer you can pray such time is go and pray and say, God, you know I can't pray. You know I can't pray. Father, you know I can't pray. Under these circumstances, it's hard to pray. Nevertheless, that will be done. You get up quickly and leave the place before he says something that's not palatable. He said, Pastor Mark, but don't you want to hear it? The fact that you can't obey it, even if you heard it, don't just worry yourself. You can't obey it. Oh God, I wish one day you will get the point I'm trying to make. If God gives you a command that you cannot obey, you can't obey. That's why he doesn't command people anyhow. Take that from me. God doesn't give instructions anyhow, because most of his instructions nobody can obey. So before he issues the instructions, he builds you to the level of ability to obey. You must first be capable of obedience before he issues it forth. God is very wise. Very wise. Peradventure you hear instruction that you can't obey. That's what we said last time. That's when you don't try to obey. Oh God, I wish you get this point. You don't try to obey God when you can't. What do? You take that word that you can't obey. You take it to prayer and kneel down with that word and say, God, I have heard this. But you know I can't. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Listen, you pray like that until one day you will rise up. Suddenly, you will find strength inside you to do anything that God is saying. It's not, look, you think that David started praying when he saw Goliath. Listen, those who ran when they saw Goliath, they had not prayed their prayers before that time. That was what happened. And that's what I'm trying to get believers to understand. It is not when God, you go to church sometimes. You know, emotions fool churches well. So when I want all of you to become missionaries with me, maybe I'm planning to go to Rwanda. I will show up in church. As I was praying this morning, the Lord said that by the time I'm leaving here, there shall be 17 men going with me to Rwanda. And if you have been having problems, it's because you have not heard the call to Rwanda. And God is in Rwanda. By the time I finish for 30 minutes, who's going to Rwanda? All of you will jump forward. Or I give them a slip in their hands, sign. Make a vow against the will of God and against your will that you are going to Rwanda. It becomes a problem afterwards. Oh boy, I'm not going. Ah, but you have vowed. Let me tell you how to answer such calls. When they make the altar call, don't answer. You gently go and pray. Don't, when they say, listen, my friend, you cannot just make a decision concerning your life because somebody made a call in 1 minute. Are you getting my point? No, you cannot make a decision concerning your life. You know, these are things Christians do all the time. I just sit there, just look at them. Emotions. Come forward right now. If you want to go to, where's the problem now? Georgia. I'm going to help the Christians who are suffering in Georgia. Everybody will go and sign. At the end, guilt comes upon their heart. When the whole emotion has died down. Oh boy, I know they go to Georgia. My papa not there. In fact, before I thought was there, that was where my cousin was. But they just called me yesterday that the guy is in Kazakhstan. So I'm not going to Georgia again. But what are you supposed to do? Listen, that's why you need information. That is why I say that what you need for stability is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If I go to a place right now, you say, you preach your message, no matter how hot it is, all I do is to hear it. I don't know whether you heard that, what I said. What did I say? All I do is what? I hear it, and I go away with it. I don't discard it. But you're not rushing me into a decision. You are not rushing me into a decision. You are not going to do that. I'm going to settle down and imbibe the information and digest it and include it with the things I had already. And whatever comes out of it becomes the will of God for me. Please, are you getting my point? No, people, look, emotions, you don't use that to do the will of God. You will tremble because somebody... Listen, if I preach a hot message, I can... No, what I'm saying is not a joke. There was a man in one big church in Nigeria then. They said he stole, I've forgotten how much, whoever knows can remind me. That's 6 or 18 million, I can't remember now, 12. Stole from his employer. And everybody in the office was surprised. For embodied, they did not even see the money. What happened? He used everything as offering in church. You, all of you, heard this gist that time. It's not secret gist. It was in the papers. It was in the news. It was everywhere. Do you understand my point? Now, his colleagues in the office were shocked that this guy is normally a very straight and honest person. What happened? I say, hey, God, people don't have understanding. Paul said, who has bewitched you so that you will no longer obey the truth? What Paul was saying is that it's possible to bewitch people. I said that man was bewitched. He did not know what he was doing. I can tell you that as a matter of fact. Added to it, I know the name of the man who bewitched him. And he's popular because he knows how to bewitch people into parting with all kinds of money. Some people call it an anointing. I have observed the operations. I don't believe it's an anointing. I believe it's witchcraft. You know, a lot of people haven't read anything. That's why they are moved by many things, operations. No, I'm telling you the truth. You want to discover the will of God. It's not when all your emotions are run up and down. You wait and let it settle down. You know how he said it? He said, for a man to be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hastens with his feet errs or makes mistakes. NIV says, zeal without knowledge is not good. Are you getting my point? Listen. That is, when you just get up, emotional, as somebody, you met somebody last week, you like him so much, he proposed this week, oh boy, don't answer till next week. Oh, girl, that bitch been a boy, they propose. Hey, guy, look, why the thing is he jumping up and down? Don't shout, yes, 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 come on, yes, 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 is that. You wake up one day, you realize, nah, but that's my yes, 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 be like saying that somebody is talking, no be me. That kind of thing, you let your brain settle. I've had to counsel with people who face serious issues in making decisions about marriage. And somebody who just shout, jumping up and down, I think he loves me. I was just say this one is not going anywhere yet. Just wait. Wait. I'm serious. A lot of people have faith when they don't know anything. They don't know what's going on. So they are very, very bold. The fact is that if they knew the truth, now listen to me. I'm not saying they will now do what is wrong. I'm saying that at least you will know whether you have the energy to do it or that you don't have it. I hope I'm saying something that you are following me. What am I trying to explain? Let me try and settle back on the main thing I was trying to explain here. That when we lack wisdom, what it means is that we have gathered all the information we have, and having gathered the information, we cannot arrive at a sure decision. Okay, that's where I took off from. This sure decision, doing something and being sure that you have done what you will defend anytime. Are you getting my point? People sometimes say, had I known? I said, but you did not know. Did you? No, forget it. Was the information presented and you rejected it? The problem I've had with people is when you tell them, and they say, and I knew, I said, that's the problem. But had I known is not an issue. You did not know. Are you getting my point? You should be quick to forgive yourself. Once you did, because you see, one thing about decision making is, and that's how God judges people. Now, let me just tell you this. God judges your life based on everything that you do. How you sit, how you don't sit. It's funny, right? How you dress and how you don't dress.
As a banker.
Yes. I know what I'm saying. Because there is a motivation behind everything you are doing. Do you get my point? And that is what God is judging. Not the result, but what was pushing you while you were doing it. I'll see people walk on the road there. By the time they finish, it's obvious they want all the boys to be looking at their breast. No, I'm serious. I'm not joking. You must be a devil or you're a fool. One of the two. Either you are so stupid or you are a real evil person. No, it's true. It's true. There's no third way. I'm telling you, everything a man or a woman does, God adds it together to judge what your life will be like. I'm bringing out something. Even when you do something that turns out wrong, but you did it with the best motives, given the information that you have, it may have turned out wrong in the eyes of everybody. But as far as God is concerned, you're a good man. You know, I was discussing with, it was Kingsley yesterday. And we're discussing America and all of that, you know. Something led to, you know, this Russian invasion of Georgia and all of that. We're just discussing world events. I said that one of the things, if I ever have to preach to America as a nation, or Americans, one of the things I will tell them is that you must never look at Vietnam with regret. You must never do that. That to whom much power is given, much responsibility is committed to the person also. Are you getting my point? Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. He said, what were we doing in Vietnam? I said, because you were created as a nation by God to defend freedom. They went to Vietnam for what? To fight communism. The idea is that communism is bad. And they understood some things a lot of people don't understand. That this is how evil people go. And that's why everybody is so much against Russia now. Because if Russia annexes Georgia, next time is Ukraine, back to Estonia, Kazakhstan, you know, at the end of the day, they are back to USSR. And you have another problem in your hands. So then, no, it must not go beyond this level. I don't want to pass more comments about it. But this is the point I'm making. America understood that. You know how communists were doing it? They swallowed the easy nations. By the time they finish swallowing the whole world, it will remain only America. Fine! Then can you face the rest of the world? So Americans knew from the beginning, we must defend freedom. And they went to Vietnam to go and defend freedom. Except that at the end of the day, 50,000 American soldiers died. And Americans start saying that, what were we doing there? They don't realize that more than 1 million Vietnamese died. No, they don't think about that. The day they pulled out because they killed about 3 of their soldiers in Somalia, I said, God will judge them for this. You killed 3 soldiers in Somalia, you pulled out, I said, what are we doing there? You should have punished the people that killed those guys. Because you were there on a peacekeeping mission. They're shouting about Vietnam, 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 Vietnam. I said, why are you shouting? You did the same thing in Korea. Except that the result was good. So you don't cry about it. American soldiers died in Korea. Why do you think there's North Korea and South Korea? It was one country. Communists came in from the front. Americans came in from the south. And they fought and fought. You know, technically, the war is still going on. Until they fought and everybody got tired of fighting. So they created a demilitarized zone. Stay there, we stay here. What am I trying to explain? Isn't that principle to bring out an issue? That they did what they did based on principles that were sound. The result is the will of God. Do you get my point? The result is what? The will of God. You do that which God has given you information. You will know when you are doing what is right. Based on what you know. All your friends might be resigning from one office and rushing to another one. Because that one pays better. And for certain reasons you look and say, no, I can't live here. I know the other place pays better. I said, but don't forget, we signed a bond for 2 years. I honor my word. The other guy is paying better. Yes, but you see, somebody built it up to that level where he could pay better. I feel like I can do something here. You put everything together, maybe you have not listened to one or two crazy pastors like me, and they finish preaching. By the time they finish preaching, You say, I beg, although the salary is small compared to the other guy, but at least I will stay for a while. At the end of the day, the company folds up and your friends are flying on the other side. Some people will now come and say, ha, I should have known. I always say, no. You could not have known. God did not give you the information. You made your decision based on sound spiritual principles. For that reason, you may appear to have lost physically, but hear from me, you have gained eternally. The problem with most people is that single experience, because they don't have understanding, because somebody told them that every sacrifice you make pays money. Do you get my point? A lot of people faint after that. Next time they will tell you, ah, no, I'm not making that mistake a second time. Fools, they don't realize it was not a mistake. It was a sound decision made with the kind of information you had. So even though it appears like you've lost out, you still did that which was right. Do you get the point I'm making? You can't, because of the result, now say that I will never be a fool again. You were not a fool the first time. You were obeying sound judgment. You were obeying sound principles. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. And that is what Christianity is. I like the way my pastor said in Lagos those days. He said, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequences are the will of God. They kick you out of Potiphar's house into jail. At least it's on record. I wasn't lying. Miss Potiphar is right lying. I can't argue with her. She's the big madam. I'm the small fry. But God, you see, I refuse to sin against you. Period. Look at it now. Your mate who was in Potiphar's cousin's house, he's now the MD of Potiphar International Incorporated. In fact, look, you're just a fool. What made you a fool? You are now in prison. They forget that there was a basis upon which you made your decision. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm commenting on the issue of if any man lacks wisdom. What James was saying is that if you have enough information to do what you are supposed to do, which training has taught you is right, do it. If you don't have, you pray. And I'm explaining to you that there are different ways by which God answers. He can give you more information. That's number one. Number two, he can infuse a spirit of faith into you. Number three, he can give you a dramatic manifestation. Suddenly, without any explanation. I mean, if your name is Joseph, no matter how kind you are, do you follow what I'm saying? The best you could have done is what Joseph was planning to do. You are engaged to one woman. You not touch her, no be you. Next thing, she appears. You don't get the point because you have read the Bible. He now appears. He said, what's in the, you chop? He said, I know chop. Oh. Na angel. You know, you go draw back small. Which kind of angel are you talking about? Angel did what? Angel give me belly. Ah, come here, old girl. I'm not exactly a fool. You know, I was just sitting there one day. You know, I swear God knows that I'm not lying. The angel said that I should be, and I actually asked him that you are going to say this like this. So now I don't know why I didn't talk to you. No matter, even now that you have read the Bible story, if it happens to you, boy, you know, go agree. At this, you've introduced that to everybody. This is my fiance, we're getting married. It just appears, say, angel, give him belly. You know, very stupid story. And you can even tell us something more interesting than angel, spirit, not a human being, spirit. Listen, Joseph was so kind. So these girls of nowadays, they just have mercy on her. If we go and announce it now, they will come and start stoning her. And she said, she was always a good girl. What can we do now? But I know they marry again. Ah, I never marry. Angel, they give you better. If I marry, finish now. All the principalities and powers, he will just give you one belly after the other. Are you getting my point? That was why God had to send the angel, all right, to Joseph. Without that visitation, there's no righteous man on the earth that would have taken Mary with all that story. But, I mean, God just said, no, this is too much for a human being to handle. He said, oh, yeah, Gabriel, buy fuel, put up for your tank. Johnny did. And the guy traveled back again. He said, "You see, don't be angry. Don't be afraid to take the child. Don't be angry." But when we were in secondary school, they acted that Christmas drama. I remember the guy walked in, Joseph. He was sleeping. As soon as the angel finished the story and vanished, the guy jumped up and said, "Hey, Holy Spirit, wait, now more talk. Holy Spirit, wait. That I need some more clarifications." What am I explaining? That the common sense, all right, is used until, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. It is exhausted until it cannot satisfy the issue at hand. And don't ever forget this. God is kind. Please, bear that one in mind. God is what? Kind. I told you last time, you know, we make it look as if you have to tune your spirit. So you learn that when God is speaking, you can hear it. Listen, if a bomb wants to explode under your seat in 1 minute, and I'm your friend and I love you, I will not speak the language you don't understand if I'm aware of the fact, will I? In fact, you've seen movies. When you know, in those movies, you see one terrorist has wired the school to explode, and they find out. You know, they don't go to the school to announce it. You know, they don't do that. They just walk in there. As the principal, place it is important we clear this school immediately. Because you don't want to cause pandemonium. Do you follow? You start like, okay, everybody file out through that. Okay, I want some boys to go over the window nicely, gently, drop from the other side. You know, you are in a hurry in your soul. But physically, you know if they are ordered, they can move out faster. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't even want to communicate it to them. Some of the trials that you had to go through or we have to go through, if God communicated them with you, oh boy, to you, oh, you will say, "God, that time I gave my life to Christ, can I have you back just for a while? Because this kind of trial, I want to take a man through. I didn't sign for it." You wouldn't even know that he has strength to carry you through it available. You wouldn't even realize that there are angels around to help you through the fiery furnace. You wouldn't know that. But actually, that's why he does not communicate the issue with you. He will lead you out of the school that's about to explode. Without your tuning your spirit, say, "Let me hear what's God saying this morning." You don't need that. If the car in front of you breaks when you're in the traffic, you also break. You don't say, "Holy Spirit, there's a red light on. Should I press my brake?" Holy Spirit will just say, "Let me think about it." Then what he's saying is that jam first. That is, of course, what do you do? Say, "Holy Spirit, while you are thinking about it, let me just press my brakes. You're not going to see anything." No, that's the way it works. Look, Christians must learn that. There is what is right to do. And we must learn to do it. And once we have done that which is right, the consequences are what? The will of God. Do you follow my point? And I said that you will know when you don't have enough information to act. You will know. You will know when there is no assurance in your heart yet to make the right decision. You will know. How do you handle such circumstances? You go and do what? And you pray. That is when God sets, you know, gives you new information. I was going to say something, but our time is really up. But I hope you have learned something. All right. Because what I was going to go into next is to explain the meaning of the word mind. Let me introduce it, and next time I will complete it. What does the word mind? You know, we read 2% of the scriptures. We read Romans chapter 12. It's talked about renewing your mind. Now, what does the word mind mean? The word mind, it doesn't describe the thoughts of your heart, but rather it describes how you process information. If you see things like thoughts, if you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you tell that the word of God is able to judge the thoughts, down to 13, the thoughts and what? The intents of the heart. That is, your thoughts, your intention, all right? They spring out of your heart. With the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. So when you are believing, you are taking actions from your heart. Do you get what I'm going to say? All right? Now, so once something is inside your heart, it comes out automatically. It springs out of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Okay? All right, he will tell you that an evil heart, how does he say it again? Is known by its fruit. That is, if your heart is good, you will bear good fruit. I'm going to bring out something. What is inside the heart is automatic in its output. Do you get my point? The control you have is when things enter your heart. The door to the heart is called the mind. I don't know whether you get what I said. The door to the heart is what? The mind. So it processes the information that is coming into your heart. And it processes that information using other information you already stored in your heart and the kind of spirit that you have. That's why we talked in previous times about the spirit of faith. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, there are times you hear information. All right? Maybe they tell you that, let me give an example. So, someone like me, practically. Just say, hey, life expectancy in Nigeria is only 48 years or 52 years of age. You know, it doesn't settle in my heart that will be my portion. So it's never a reference. It doesn't settle therein. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, my mind processes information. In fact, let me read the scripture to explain that one, and then we'll be out of here. Luke chapter 21. Now, I'm going to just read one line, but the whole thing, you can easily see. It was describing, from verse 10, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquake, famines, then the persecution of his disciples, Jesus was speaking, and then he kept on saying all of those things, talking about the troubles. He now said to them in verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. He said, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Let me go to verse 28. He said, but when these things begin to take place. Now, notice what he said, verse 26. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. He said, but when it comes to you, my disciples, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same set of information, the same facts presented to them, but he's training their mind on how to interpret it. Do you understand my point? That is a natural way of interpretation. Is that we don't die. Do you follow what I'm saying? But the disciples' way of interpretation is, oh boy, straighten up, look up. It don't happen. Our redemption is near. I like one thing, I think was George Soros that said it. I'm not very sure of which one now, or maybe somebody else, but one of those guys. He said that every time you see economic turmoil, he said no wealth is about to change hands. That is, for an average Nigerian, anytime you see economic turmoil, no visa is going to be harder to get. Rush quick, beat everybody. But men who, Robert Kiyosaki calls them, he doesn't call them investors, he calls them capitalists. When he was arranging men on this financial ladder, the lowest people are those who work for money. Then there are those who own their own businesses. Somebody pays them money. Some own their own businesses. He kept on going until he got to what he called investors. Those are guys who have millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in big businesses and all of that. He said above that is what he calls capitalists. Those are guys who shape the economy of nations. George Soros is very hard in doing that. At the point in time, he was called the man who fought the Bank of England and won. What did he do? He drove down the value of the pound deliberately. He borrowed money in pounds, moved it to Germany, drove down the value of the pound, then returned the money because by that time the value was down. In the process, he pocketed $2 billion. Listen, I'm not joking. This is a matter of fact. George Soros can, by one activity, ruin the economy of a small nation. The same man, look, when you say economic turmoil, he said, there's no problem. Wealth is about to change hands. An average poor person says, start saving money. Don't buy fuel again. In fact, bicycle, back to bicycle. Everybody. There are those who profit from famine. That is, if there's famine, they make money. There's abundance, they make money. If there's volcanic eruption, they become richer. If you have plenty of harvest, they become rich. Whatever you do. You know, I like the way Miles Monroe said it. He said, the difference between the poor and the rich is the ability to see. Do you understand my point? You know what I mean by to see? To be able to perceive what is going on beyond what is common on the surface. I'm explaining the meaning of the word mind. Mind is how you process information. Are you getting my point? I mean, you go around every day. You see buildings being erected. People like me see buildings being erected. And they say, there's no money in this country. See buildings going up. You know, an architect will pass. He doesn't see there's no money. His only is that, which kind of pillars are they using there? Are you sure this building is stable? Or is it, wow, this must be after this Swiss school of hotel building. You know, it seems something very different. That is why when somebody is preaching, like my wife said once, that there's a way I react. And for her, I said, the reason is not, like, maybe some things are wrong. You know, see, preachers are preaching things that are not correct, you understand? And they are whipping up sentiments. Everybody's getting excited. My wife says, the way I start shifting, you know, in my seat. And I start getting very uneasy. And once she asked me that, why can't you react like everybody else? And everybody, most other people would think it's wrong. They just look and they just forget about it. He said, but you see, she now said herself that I think I understand why. He said, for some people, it's just a matter of wrong doctrine. He said, but for you, it's a matter of life. You have staked your life on this thing. This is what you live for. This is what you do. This is what you breathe. This is what you eat. So when you see somebody use it wrongly, you are offended personally. Are you getting my point? The same information. The same, but different people see different things. I'm explaining something. That's what Paul is telling us. We need to rearrange our minds to process information properly. What am I trying to explain? In the matter of common sense, once information is properly processed, Paul said you will discover what the will of God is. The problem most times when it comes to not knowing the will of God is that we don't process information properly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's just the issue. That's why I say you must be renewed, you must be transformed by the renewal of your information processing faculty. That's what they call the mind. How do you do that? And that's what I teach believers all the time. I want to stop now. How do you do that? You constantly rearrange the thoughts inside your heart with the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, there is no shortcut to knowing God's will. You don't pray about the will of God when it's marriage time. Should I go to Abakaliki? Or Otukpo? Or Lagos? Is it Abuja? Where do we go for ministry? That is not when you start praying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before that, you must have been one being built up every time, whose mind is being transformed by the word of God. I have read books in which the man will say, then I prayed and God told me to do this. And in my mind, as you're going to do that one, you will soon find out why you shouldn't have done it. And you finish doing it. I said, now I have learned that that's not the proper thing to do. And I will smile to myself. You were just a child, no problem. That is, you should have had enough understanding to process the information so you don't need to go and pray and say, God, what do I do? Because sometimes God just say, okay. The only way you will learn. Now, I'll tell you something about the will of God. God says something does not always teach us principles. Let me say something. Because God can look and say, the only way this guy will learn is if he suffers. So, proper teaching would have told him, go A, you know, go. Go side A, you know, go. He will now pray and say, God, what is your will? I want to know your will of God. I want to know the will of God here. What is God's will? God said, the problem why he's praying is that he does not want to obey that which is written. So an angel will appear. I am a messenger of thy God. Go to side B. And the man will go to side B. And the angel will have told the evil spirit that the guy is coming. So the evil spirit will be holding their hammer. He said, but don't kill him. He said, yes, sir. Don't kill him. Just have some fun. They will beat the guy. Beat him. Then he'll wake up. All right. Hallelujah. Lord, I think I should go to side A. God said, I said it simply. You did not want to hear. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's why all this God told me, does not validate what the person is doing. There are those who are doing what God told them to do. And God told them to do it only because they wouldn't otherwise hear anything. After all, Moses, according to the commandment of God, told the children of Israel, you can divorce your wives. Do you know that? Yes. God told him, tell them to divorce their wife they want. They should just give a certificate. And once you've divorced a woman, you can't marry her again. They had those commandments. Then Jesus now came and said, actually, in the beginning, it was not so. But Moses said, and it was God. He said, wait. It was because of the hardness of your heart. Therefore, God gave you the next level of something that's acceptable to be able to pass around in the society without corrupting it totally. He said, actually, he that made them male and female. And according to divine order, if you divorce according to Moses' law, you have committed adultery. So you can't quote the laws of Moses. All right? To see this is exactly how the divine order was. Jesus is superior to Moses. Do you get what I'm saying? So please, let me summarize like this. Don't quote visions and dreams to validate principles and practices. There is a recorded word of God. That is where we first tabernacle. We build our lives on that one. And then every other thing is added. When we need vision, vision will come. Do you get what I'm saying? There are some stories I wanted to read to show you how you process information. But because of time, let us leave it there. Next time, I'll read them again. How David decided he was going to leave Keilah. I told you, when they wanted to choose a replacement for Judas, they said, this must be apostles of the Lamb. They must have witnessed everything from the baptism of John till when he was taken up into heaven. Who here qualifies? They found two people. That was when they now lacked wisdom. Do you understand my point? They now prayed and cast lots. And God now revealed in the lots they cast which one was his will. I'm going to answer it along the line. Is it okay to fleece God, to cast lots before God? Please, make sure you're around next Saturday. I will try and get there. Is it okay to cast lots? People have said that the Holy Spirit was not here then. That's when they cast lots. It's not true. They said that's under the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Again, it's when you don't understand the principle. Once you have satisfied every other thing, God can lead you in any way. You can see lightning and it's a sign of God. The problem is not whether it is all right to fleece or not to fleece. We'll discover what it means to fleece. The problem is, who is the man fleecing? And why is he fleecing? If he's really a Gideon, a small boy, with 350 jokers like himself as soldiers, to face the band of the Midianites. Oh boy, you better fleece. You better fleece. You know, David knows they fleece. David had the assurance. Gideon, it was hard though. Even after the fleecing, you know, God still gave him dream. God is what? Very kind. When you need to fleece, you will fleece and God will answer. The problem why it doesn't answer most fleeces is that the truth is that people are not fleecing. They don't want to do it. You keep asking questions until somebody tells you the one you want to hear. Oh man, this people said. You keep asking everybody. Then finally, God says, see, we've tried to help. She not agree.